Okay, so I'm just going to go through and we'll see how far we can get, and I'll skip through some, and but basically just fast forward through it. And, I mean, you have my notes. I'm not going to say a lot more than that, but putting that together with the article I gave you, you know, just highlighting some of the main issues there. But you've seen it too, so feel free to jump in. You know, it's open to interpretation. I'm just giving you some idea of how you could use it for a paper and use it to try to, you know, get a feel for the period, at least Fassbinder's attitudes toward that. So let's see what we can do with it. So obviously he opens with, you know, a pretty clear indication that he's going to deal with, you know, the German history there, because he does open with that shot of Hitler, and then it closes with shots of Adenauer, Erhard, and Helmut Schmidt. So he braces it with those two. So obviously the, you know, the conditions at the end of the war, the devastation, Zero Hour, run through all of this. Her wedding day, right? So the relationship is born of the conditions of the war. Now, interestingly for me, but also I think in terms of this juxtaposition, that's, you know, that's not just Beethoven, that's the slow movement of the Ninth Symphony. This is epitomizes the, you know, the effort of 19th century, we'll say 19th century, 18th and 19th century German culture to reach some sort of peace, some kind of calm. In the 19th century, the Ninth Symphony is this incredible depiction of the struggle that man has, and then options that he has to overcome them, whether to dance and party and drink yourself into oblivion, or to escape through a kind of meditative, religious, mystical. And that's what this movement suggests, that you can move to some sort of higher plane. So to contrast this with the catastrophe of the end of the Second World War, a baby screaming, you know, shelling, shooting, so on. You could say he's saying, well, the 19th century dream ended in this. That's where it ended up, or something like that. But it's a remarkable contradiction. So we'll fast forward here to the first scene in their apartment, and just these dire conditions that they're under. And it's important that it is the woman's story that he tells. And, you know, that's part of his insight. It could have been the story of two soldiers. It could have been, you know, a typically male set of symbols. But women were the ones left holding the bag. I mean, the men are all off there in the east. The men have died on the Eastern Front or in Stalingrad and so on, and these women are left to fend for themselves. So they're the ones who have to deal with those post-war conditions.
How long did it take most of the men to get back?
It can take. I mean, there are men. Well, first of all, great numbers don't come back, right? So there's that. But there are prisoners kept in Russian prisoner camps until into the 50s. Yeah. If they come back at all, right? So this, the whole story of the German women who, I mean, I told you a little bit about, didn't I, the women that you could see in the buses and they show up at the tourist sites and so on. Well, these are those women, right? They did, their men didn't come back. And they all lived through this period of desperation and having to, this is part of the problem of watching this. There's that moment where the Beethoven's cut off and they shift to names of the missing. So there's that another, you know, rupture of that past. But I wish I had a thing to something to write down because. But I guess it doesn't matter if you can speak in German. But the women of the period, especially in the cities, were referred to as rubble pickers, the rubble women, who went through these piles of rubble and picked through and got whatever they could out of them, and then tidied all of these things up. It was women that did all that hard labor. My dad, who went back, was in Germany in the early 50s when Berlin was still in big piles of rubble. They hadn't started to reconstruct this stuff. This is 10 years later. It was remarkable how they had neatly piled these buildings up, and the roads went through them, and you were driving around through all of these piles of rubble. But women did that labor. They were the ones who picked through all of that, survived off of that. Were you going to say something back then?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
What about the men that did come back? How does that fit into all the men who joined the French Foreign Legion and went over to Indochina in the 50s? Like, what happened with them?
Well, I don't know about people joining the French Foreign Legion and all of that.
Okay,
I mean, but symbolically, I mean, what you have here is the image of the German soldier who comes back. Well, he comes back obviously denuded of any self-worth, any pride, any economic basis, and then what does he walk into but his wife in bed with an American soldier, right? As the article said, this was the worst nightmare. So for for German men to retain some sort of male pride or whatever is part of the imagery of this film, and I would gather that at a psychological level that's accurate. Right? They had been defeated in a war that is clearly deemed unjust and. Accused of, and many of them were guilty of atrocities, and the cause for which they had fought was completely bankrupt and, zero hour, right? Nothing for them, right? So I think the imagery of the film sort of, leads to those kinds of questions. Okay, so then we'll go to this whole scene here, the desperation of the period. I mean, this is right after the war. This is 45, 46. She met him for one day, an afternoon and one night, right? They married. Then he had to go back, whatever that initial relationship had been. And the just disruption of people's lives. And this suggests the desperation of people fleeing from the east, this great migration that takes place, of people trying to get out from in front of the Red Army and out from underneath the Red Army if they could, when it was still possible to do that, moving to the west or to Berlin anyway, in order to avoid ending up under Soviet occupation. I mean, there's no denying fact that Soviet occupation was absolutely vicious. Whatever ideological background to all of this, but especially women. The policy of HBO just ran something on the policy of rape in the Congo last night, which was devastating. Well, there was an unspoken policy of rape in Berlin, and just about every young woman of age was jeopardized, if not. Mistreated. So there was a real sense of desperation trying to avoid that. And then, of course, she's sitting here wishing that her husband will be recovered. And here's a breakdown of communication. Right there. There's not a telephone, or people don't have access to that. Postal service is broken down, and so on and so forth. Just leaving up notices like that. That these. He's really using symbols to show you how dire it was, right? Even in 1978. So he definitely had a historical sense and points out some of those extreme conditions of zero hour through those images. And for me, this whole scene, as I said, is the fact that they're so matter of fact about death, about the death of their husband, and they speak of it very ironically. Right? In particular, when this woman talks about the fact that all she received was this plaque that, you know, had figures and indicated that he died, that Germany might live. You know. What a joke, basically, what she's saying. So there's this bitter, ironic sense of humor or just sense of reality in the discourse between these women. Now, this whole business with the American soldiers, you know, one of the major issues for this film, which deals with people in the West, is the interaction between Germans and American occupying forces. And it was very much part of their lives until 1990. How were they going to deal with the fact that there were all these American soldiers around, and a large number of the American soldiers were black? I mean, we don't think about it because the American vision of the Second World War doesn't include the black troops. But I can tell you that when I was in Germany in the 70s and the 80s, most of the soldiers were black, and most of them lived where did soldiers live? On the bases, right? And didn't interact that much. Right, they didn't get off of the base too much, but there were certain bars in certain areas where they did go. And in Berlin, where I live, there wasn't that much tension between them because the Berliners really did accept them as the people who were maintaining their liberty and ability to live in this Western way in the midst of the Soviet zone, of the East German zone. But in other places, there was a certain amount of tension, and I think that. That whole scene where she's dealing with soldiers who have been throwing cigarettes and then, you know, protects them and makes this soldier apologize for that. That's symbolic of those interactions. Obviously, her relationship with Bill could also be read as symbolic of the overall interaction. And I think it's also astute that Fassbinder did select a black soldier. It could have been a white soldier, but he selects a black soldier because that, in large part, was the reality. It may seem sort of shocking to us because we're not used to that imagery. But it was the American black soldier that was there doing the grunt work preparing for, keeping Germany under control and preparing for the potential of a Third World War. So here's, these images are all point to this need to survive and the kind of cold calculation. They're going over her father's clothes, and the mother is saying, you know, we need to use him, he's dead, just use the clothes, right? There's this coldness. And then when she comes in, she has cigarettes that she got from the American soldiers, right? And her mother's obviously a smoker and desperate for those cigarettes, but she won't give her any cigarettes until she trades her for something. She gives her brooch. Right, so you know that harshness, and maybe we could say that's Maria Braun, but symbolic of that cold calculation that's functioning in this this period of death of 0 hour, and that influences her attitude for the next 25 years. Come the cigarettes, the precious cigarettes. And just when she's about to get it, right, she makes a trade with her own mother. Right? So the intensity of that's pretty clear. Now this scene, obviously he's reconstructed, and this is 1978, so, you know, this is a reconstruction, but the whole process of picking up the city, the Tomospecta, the rubble pickers, there they are. In the background, now I've noted this, but I haven't listened to it that closely right now, and you could, they are talking about the Morgenthau plan on the radio. It's sort of, it's an American broadcast, I think, in English. And they're, of course, complaining that there aren't any true men around. And I mean, I think we can read this, even if we don't know about it, that there is this attitude that the men are gone, that strong men died in the East, you know, women are in charge after the war, and they have to do what's necessary. So here, she's getting herself ready to do what's necessary, right? To prostitute herself. And she and her, I think that's her sister. That's her sister. She and her sister are going to go to this bar. Okay. Whoop. Any requests? Yes? Play Deutschland Lied. Okay, that's going on in the background. All right, so there's that discussion about whether you can play it. There's Fassbinder. Somebody says, stop it. All right, stop playing that. What's the use if you can't even play the national anthem? So there's that rupture again, that break from the past. So the black market and that whole culture. So there he is. He's actually, in some ways, he's the spokesman for the German past, right? And he says, well, would you like these books of Kleist? And she goes, no, they burn too easily and they don't give it up off any heat. And he goes, well, if that's the way you look at it. And she says, that's the way I look at it, right? And he says, well, maybe that way for now. Right? So, I mean, he has himself, that's got to be symbolic that he puts himself into that position, right? Somehow. So I don't know what, I mean, my guess is Fassbinder's not a promoter of the German past and the German romanticism and so on, but ironically puts him there as something you would get on the black market. I mean, you could play with all kinds of aspects of that image. So here, you know, more of that practical survival, do what's necessary. She's having her mother fix the dress for her so that she can go to the bar. And it happens to be her old gymnasium, her old high school. Right? So here's a symbol of the rupture from the past too, I would say. Right? Her school has been transformed in this, you know, dump. American flag hanging over it. You could play with that. I don't have all the answers. I sort of have the simple history version of it. But if you guys can dig in a little bit deeper, there's There's Marlene Dietrich back there. There's an American flag. All kinds of symbolism in there. Why it's parallel bars, I don't know. Maybe they just found them in whatever place they were doing it. Some of these are probably accidental, but there you are. Women don't do parallel bars, do they, in general? So you can even play with that. So then all the, you know, the just the practical brutality of this, just the reduction of things, the elementary, you know, he says, all the basics of becoming a entertainer, right? A hostess. You have to can't wear your wedding ring, you have to go get this health certificate to make sure that you don't have ED. You know, she's having to deal with that, those harsh realities. Of course, this is another powerful, you know, image of how decadent and tough things have become. You know, this completely heartbroken, disaffected doctor who is a morphine addict, right? He's shooting himself up, handing out health certificates for women who are prostituting themselves, doing abortions, whatever it is. He's just brokenhearted by all the things that he's dealing with. Here's a little girl that he, I think, had delivered, and he had been her pediatrician, right? And now she's there asking for this. And so, you know, here, I'm sure you can play with the whole notion of that German tradition, the German medical tradition, or so on and so forth. It's also, you know, bankrupt or at a tragic end. He's sad. He stopped believing in people. So, you know, sort of an existentialist position. I've stopped believing in people. There he is, shooting himself up. So here she gives up on searching for Braun, for Hermann, because she's, you know, she's has to survive, right? And ends up in this bar. And this whole interaction between herself and this symbol of American occupation. So there's a tough existentialist couple of lines, right? You know, the truth is what you have in your stomach, and feelings are what you have between your legs. It doesn't get much rawer than that. What? So that's a double joke. I don't know, in the German world. Better black than brown, so that's her husband, right? But also better black than brown, what was the color of the Nazi party? Brown, right? So at least Germans noticed that one, I think. Might have been in our article. Their relationship is positive. He's helpful, right? He's kind. He teaches her English. You know, they get along. So, you know, if we're playing with this as an image of the American-German relationship, right? It has this sort of superficial success, right? The soldiers are good. America is supporting them. Bill provides her with money. Right. Is that representative of American influx? Is this the Marshall Plan? Right. You could play with that idea, symbolic of that. But on the other hand, her heart is always going to be with her German man, not with this American soldier. So there's always sort of the hope, I guess, or the intention that if we can just get past this period, we'll revive ourselves or revive our relationship with our German men. So that's implied. Now here's where Willy comes back. I think he's her brother-in-law, but anyway, friend's or sister's husband. And they believe that Hermann is dead. And I think, you know, besides what's happening here for cinema fans, the question is this: what she does when she hears that he's dead. What her action is, because it comes back at the end of the movie. You can play with this purification that she's undertaking. And then obviously Fassbinder wants us to notice. He's dead now, and then when she learns that he's cut this deal with Oswald and the will, she goes into the bathroom and does the same thing. She rinses her hand. So, you know, it's both points where Hermann is sort of dead to her. But, you know, why the running water? Yeah?
It looks like blood as if she had slit her wrists. Could be. Her suicide to an extent, her representing Germany by selling out to the system that ended.
Could be at her own death. I mean, that's a death. At this moment, she thinks Hermann's gone, so that past is done. And then when Hermann does that to her and she discovers it, you know, that whole period's over. You could play with that, right? I don't know. I just raised the question. I don't have the answer. Okay, so she will end up going back to Bill here. And so there's that connection to the American, goes to him when she needs support, as the German government was. So she's happy with him, right? This is interesting, not just that part, but if we were always together, you know, we would always be happy. But I don't want, you know, I don't think I want to be there with you forever. He wants to marry her. So is this, you know, the German, if she's Germany and this is America, yeah, but we don't want to get too close to you. We don't want this to be permanent. And she says this a couple times. She's fond of Bill, but she loves Hermann. And so that reference to the possibility of rebuilding itself, ultimately, you know, is consummated, right? Is achieved, because Germany is now the Berlin Republic and doesn't have to answer to the United States. They held out long enough. They didn't, you know, completely give themselves up to the Americans. So she's pregnant, and until Hermann comes back, there is some possibility of this child. Here comes Hermann. So I'll read our article. The timing of her actions is significant. She strikes Bill down at the very moment when Hermann appears to be at his weakest. It is the strange image of the naked black man embracing her husband, consoling and restraining him at the same time, which triggers Maria's action. The final exchange of glances between Hermann and Maria then suggests that by eliminating Bill from the emotional triangle, she has reconstructed the original dualistic relationship on which all her emotions are focused. So, getting rid of the American and turning back to her German man. So, maybe not a lethal blow in our world, but in some way the cheesiness of it reminds us that, you know, this is all symbolic. It's not, you know, you don't take it. That's part of the cinema of it. Okay. So, here Hermann will take the rap. Yeah. after he actually hears that she loves him. She testifies that she loved him, and then he takes the rap, and then she promises to work. I'm going to work, you know, very hard, and we'll have our life together elsewhere. So that's her plan. And then she aborts the child and moves to her new phase right now, where she's going to do whatever it's necessary to achieve material gain.
Does LSR stand for? Yeah.
Whoop, what? Okay. I have to see it. I'm not sure. Oh. What would that be? LSR. Yeah, I see it. Some sort of directions into what? I don't know. What does that stand for? Any other Germano funds out here? I'll have to figure that one out. I'm not sure. I don't recognize it from.
Isn't that team when they're picking through the rubble?
Mm-hmm. So I'll have to check on that. It could be. That would. If they wanted to do that, but that's what I'm trying to decide, if it's that or just some other train or transport thing, whether they put that there or it just happens to be around wherever they're shooting. I'll have to check that. My German isn't picking that up exactly what that is, so I'm stumped. Okay, so here her effort to get herself out of, you know, the circumstances, the desperate circumstances of everyday German. Right now she is going to pull herself up for her bootstraps. This is the first real point of it. I guess that her relationship with Bill was representative of that, but there, you know, she was looking for help from somebody else. Right now she's going to do it herself for Hermann, and she's going to get her butt out of that crowded second-class train car and into the first, right? So she sees that opportunity, and from now on she's going to improve herself materially, whatever it takes. So this conductor is symbolic. He tells her that the industrialist is there, half French industrialist, and but he's got one eye, right? He's war wounded, and he can't read the train tables. Well, you know, one of the symbols of German efficiency are those German conductors, right? So for him to, you know, be incapable of reading the train schedule is sort of another symbolic of that rupture with the past. That another male authority who's been undermined. I can't read clearly with one eye. You can't figure out what to charge her. You'll never get a German conductor and then he doesn't know what to charge you. I think even today, right? Okay, so there's the transition. You know, the old elite aren't around. Now they're just grabbers like her. Okay, so now she's going to go after what she needs, which is a relationship with a very handy industrialist here. And I suppose you could play with the French, the fact that he's French. I don't, you know, the text, the article makes quite a bit out of this. And that's why I mentioned Adenauer's attitude toward the French, and the fact that German-French relations do improve under his government, to the point where, you know, the basis for the European Committee community is founded, of course, on economic terms first and foremost. So this could be some reference to that. So after this encounter, they meet each other. She's tough. She tells the black guy to get the soldier to get away with language that she's learned in bed. They're going to work a deal. She's going to go to work for him and meets the accountant. And just the crassness of this, or the directness of the economics, right? She wants a title and she wants a salary. It's always about money, right? Always about money, right? So she and the accountant agree. Okay, so interesting here, obviously you could, I think I indicated here, things are getting a little bit better, the apartment doesn't have holes in it, their clothes are getting a little bit better, but these little tidbits on the radio, you have Adenauer giving this speech promising that Germany will have no army, right? It's not going to rearm, it's not going to demand rearmament. And later on in the film, he's going to have Adenauer saying, we're going to rearm, that we deserve to do so. So that hypocrisy and that sort of threat. He just, you know, gives that all the volume right over the top of their talk. So this is this is why we're seeing this in a history class, because Fassbinder clearly wanted to make these connections between what's going on. Okay. So then this whole sequence leads up to her statement that this is my time now. You're in jail. You're weakened. It's my time to thrive and to do what's necessary. And of course, on top of everything else, there is the issue of the German woman and the fact that they were the ones there, and in certain ways that could have been seen as an opportunity, a promise of the development of women's rights and women's involvement in the German economy, but frankly, it doesn't pan out. I mean, I can tell you that I've heard many German feminists complain that there is really a glass ceiling in the German economy and German politics. Now they have Angela Merkel. That's a big change, right? But when I've spoken to German feminists in the 80s and then in the 90s, they always said, well, in the end, we have fewer opportunities, and it really is the expectation that we're going to take care of the kids, and that hasn't changed that much. So, her Maria Braun's end may also be an indication that a woman isn't going to be able to triumph the way she is set out to do. She's not going to be independent, and the deal that's cut between Oswald and Braun, and the fact that, you know, he's ultimately is going to have power over her, or is going to be her equal financially as a result of the will, is Fassbinder indicating that, yeah, I mean, I'm using a female image here, but don't read that as some indication that women really are going to end up being in control of German society. Or even more influential there. Here. Hey, it'll do. Let's skip ahead. All right. We'll wait till that thing goes again. All right, so we'll just walk through what happens next. So she seduces this guy, and she's a specialist in the future and all of that. So sex and business. And then after the deal, which she brings through, right, they're sitting around celebrating, and Senckenberg is the accountant, and she sort of bond because she got this deal, and Senckenberg's actually critical of Oswald because he had left during the war and gone to France and so forth. The standout line there is, "I prefer to make miracles rather than wait for them," because she's willing to use these intense new methods to bring about change. So her whole survival instinct is clear. She has her first sexual encounter, it seems, with Oswald. And the next day, in the office, we'll skim ahead to there, she establishes clear lines, as I wrote here, in their relationship. She's going to use her sexuality, but she wants to keep work and sex separate. And indicates that I'm having an affair with you, not the other way around. And that she needs a lot of money. So there's this, on her part, effort to maintain some lines there, use her sexuality as she can in order to achieve what she needs, but doesn't want to get involved in some sort of romantic thing, keeping in mind that her husband's still in jail. Okay. Is that thing done yet? Oh, okay, it's good. Go ahead to the... Okay, this is the section. So I moved ahead to... the scene with the new union negotiations at around a minute 10 or an hour 10, where she works the deal both ways. She knows the union leader, that's Billy. She sees both sides of the issue, but she does whatever's necessary to serve the interests of management. Right. So here's some of the indication of Fassbinder's awareness of those deals that are going on between labor and business, about labor politics that are taking place. In the end, it serves business the most, but this is part of the German economic world that he symbolizes. And interestingly, the funny sort of throwaway line is that the press has no opinion. The press is just steering clear of it. So she's the business negotiator, and she knows Willy, the union organizer. And she's the Mata Hari of the economic miracle. Right, so she'll go do whatever it takes, right? So the supposed stupidity of the press, little zap there from the irritator Fassbinder. So let's move ahead to let's see, skip that to lawyer. Okay, let's go to. This is where he's going to get out. Let's see, 131. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit lost. My times aren't quite right here. So when I'm skipping through here, what is happening right there is that Oswald goes and meets Hermann, and then he cuts this deal with him that when he's released, he'll stay away from Maria for 3 years or until Oswald dies. And in return, he gets half of his will. He gets half of his legacy. So Hermann is securing his financial future, but basically selling Maria to Oswald for the rest of his life. So she's been bartered. So he's talking about the deal, which is, you know, kind of subtly presented in the film, but that's what's happened. He's dying, and he knows it. So, I live in a country called Madness. That's actually, I think that's a quote of Heine, a reference to that. But, you know, the whole suggestion that Germany is sort of up for grabs is a strange place. It's a bizarre world, as you've experienced through this whole course. Well, he's stating it there, and he's not doing anything inconsistent with that. Okay, so she goes to pick up Hermann. I'll skip through this part. Her mother's boyfriend. Their parties get a little bit more elegant. They have cameras. They have even nicer clothes. I think you can track that. Here she's offering Hermann money. Remember, she doesn't know anything about the deal, and he rejects it completely. Doesn't want her help. And these are all those issues of, you know, male pride, trying to retain that. Maybe some indication of that old Germany's not going to accept this life that the women are creating. You could play with that. Of course, what she doesn't know, and he does, is that he's already has his future solidified financially. Now, I don't know. Could you play with that? That's Adenauer's old Germany, allied with the French Germany for the money. I mean, you could go crazy with it, but you could, I suppose you could think about that. Okay. Now she's told here that he's going to be released, and the first thing she does is start counting money. So many things to do. Right? So that, you know, that tangible symbol of, you know, it's money, 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 it's numbers. That's what things have been reduced to for her. And then she goes to pick him up, and he's already left. Right? So, of course, she still doesn't know what the game is, but he's left a note saying that he needs to go become more human first. Obviously, he's just getting out of the way until Oswald dies. But again, she doesn't know that. Well, you know, falls into crisis after all of this, moving ahead, and just becomes more and more obsessive, working it late, right, trying to make more money. And then we discover that she has this new house that she's been able to purchase on her own. But she's become just extremely cold, extremely obsessed with all of this. She treats the workers terribly. The mother says, you know, you're just not the same person that you used to be. You've lost all of your warmth, all of your heart. Right? And she won't let her mom move in with her. Right? So she's rejected all of that in the interest of this material financial success. That's how it's come. She'd rather pay than say thanks. You know, this just incredibly sort of vicious, cold business approach to things. And more of that comes when she's mistreating this secretary. And I don't know if I should push it too much right here. But, whoop, sorry. Okay, so she's very hard on her secretary, giving just dictation and, you know, scolds her for not taking dictation properly. And then she's going to fluster her to the point where she screws up on the phone. Might be the only time she laughs in the movie, but it's shot and pointed, you know, right? Somebody's troubles. And here's what does she say? Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if you should push it too far, but the whole Faustian bargain, you know, with the devil, she's, you know, she's signed a bargain with the devil to make money, right? And she says she's possessed by the devil. Again, I don't know if you can push it too far, but there you are. And here we have this elegant, now they've really got money, right? Things get more and more elegant. And they're in the fine restaurant, and there are fine restaurants now in Germany, you know, representative of all of this prosperity. And I'll just go through it fast because it's not so much the scene, but what they say. But, you know, their relationship is just sort of hopeless. They're bored with each other. There isn't any fire there at all, any real romance. Very dark view. It's only if you're suffering that you can have hope, you know, the unhappiness that's behind all of this. Now, I'm going to skip ahead to the same restaurant, but I think it's I can't believe I've looked through a number of articles. There isn't any discussion of this scene, but in some ways I think it's the key scene in the whole movie. After this scene, Oswald is, pretty soon anyway, is going to die. And she's going to learn from Senckenberg that Oswald has died, okay? And she's going to go back to the restaurant and eat again. And it's this scene where Adenauer in the background is reversing his policy on the army. That's what's happening on the radio. And, well, I'll let it speak for itself, at least partly. So Oswald's dead. We have the right to arm ourselves as much as we wish. She's completely hammered. She throws up. And then here's this split scene with this. I mean, I can't believe the German intelligentsia isn't just all over this thing. I haven't found a paragraph on this particular shot. And to me, it's the whole thing. Here's Adenauer saying we're going to rearm. She's vomiting because of this whole thing is blowing up in her face, and she's so disgusted by her situation. And then he's got this symbol of, you know, of decadence going on there in the corner. It's just a wild shot. What do you think, film buff? Well, anyway, I think you could write a whole paper on this shot here. So, see what you can do with it. And sports. It shifts to sports. The Hungarian. They're starting to talk about the World Cup. So. It's pretty rich, I think. Come on, what's it going to crash on me now? Okay. Okay, here comes him. So, this whole sequence with Hermann, right, he's back, Oswald's dead, right, and their relationship can continue now, unimpeded. But there's, you know, there's nothing there. She's got the house, they have all the material needs covered. She doesn't know it yet, but he also is materially satisfied or comfortable as a result of the will. So Germany has achieved the initial requirements for survival. This is the point. And in the background, by the way, it's the symbol of Germany coming to health again, is the fact that they're winning the World Cup in soccer in 1964. Right? Huge deal. So that's running on in the background. So there's this symbolism. Finally, Germany has returned. Right? But it's empty. They don't really connect. They don't know each other, the two. Right? It's stillborn, as it were. Of course, he doesn't say too much, but you know, he... You remind me of someone I used to love. I need to get to know you again. We haven't even kissed. Again, she doesn't feel any real love or connection with him. I think she's going to take her dress off again, be tempted to have sex, but they have telephones, they have TV, they have roses, they have food, they have nice clothes, all of that material stuff. So here's the Wirtschaftswunder. The economic miracle has been achieved. But there doesn't seem to be anything essential there. And she leaves the gas on. He hesitates to even have sex with her, right? I mean, it's all very uncomfortable. There isn't any real, should I say, emotional climax here, right? So it's a materialistic, superficial existence, I would say, is what Fassbinder's telling us. You can read more into it if you want. There's a goal, more important things, the soccer, right? And just as they move to physical relations, in is going to come an interruption, and the news of the will arrive. So the deal that's been cut between two men to basically undermine the achievements of this woman, I guess. If we turn to that aspect of the story. Here she's all ready to get it all, right?
Nicht seine war, mehr der Frucht entgegen,
That's Adenauer. That's Erhard. I can't remember who the next guy is. That's bad. Might be Schumacher, but I have to think. I have to check. And that's Helmut Schmidt. It skipped Willy Brandt, actually. Interesting. He skips Willy Brandt, whom he obviously didn't have as much trouble with. So, next time, we will see, after a little bit of an introduction, the lives of others, which will be the dark side of the East German world.